verse 1, Exodus 17, verse 1. The children of Israel, as you know, have departed right out of the land of Egypt. And how many of y'all ever heard of Google Earth? You know what that is? Riley Lindsay's a missionary, told me one time. He was over in Israel and flew from Cairo to Tel Aviv. And he said, when you fly over that place, when you're leaving Egypt, you can watch the sand and see a line where it just gets green. He said, that's how you know you've flown into Israel. He said, we left Tel Aviv. He said, we got in Tel Aviv airport. He said, we left Cairo. We left Pharaoh's flies behind. He said, they're still buzzing over there pretty good. And he said all that, and I went and got that Google Earth here a couple months ago. Red was telling about this, and I pulled it up on that weather app today. Shout out to WSBA-TV in South Carolina for it. And you can take that thing and pull in on a view of the Earth, and I think it's Google Earth, same thing. You go from, you take and start there in Cairo and start moving that map over, and when it gets green, you over in Israel.
Yep.
Ain't that something? You know what that is? That's Genesis chapter 12. That's the dreaded place that they can't get rid of in the Bible.
Yep.
Where God says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And he's always got a nice, green, fertile field for them people for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never understood that. I had an old uncle told me one time. He said, now, I don't understand why them Jews did such and such. I said, I do now. He said, why? I said, I'm pastoring now. Baptists do the exact same thing. Therefore, we must be God's chosen people just like they were, because we acting just like they acted.
Yeah.
That's a fact now. But as we look tonight in the Word of God, I want to say thank you to your church. You've been great to us, your pastor and his family. We have so much fun with them, being around them. They always are very uplifting. As you look at Exodus chapter 17, again, they've got out there in the wilderness. And in verse 1 says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of sin. That's where you come from.
Amen.
Now watch this. He said, they journeyed from the wilderness of sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. And it says, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast thought brought upon us out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. I told you they're just like Baptists. I'm telling you something. I ain't never seen a beat in my life of people in Baptist churches. Listen, we the only people I know can strut sitting down.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the true story.
Where you look, Brother Red?
I got saved just like Brother Red did by the grace of God. I loved everybody. I thought everybody loved me. And I thought when I was called to preach, everybody loved their preacher.
Yeah.
Until I started pastoring. The very night I got voted in, they had a unanimous vote. Listen to this. All seven people that voted unanimous. I had one quit right after service and told me I was fat. Now you know why God don't call women to preach. Y'all couldn't take that. Amen. Y'all fell out right there and been in depression for 6 months. Then been come back to another service. But I thought, how dare she call me fat? But I can kind of get this now. After I read Exodus before I started pastoring, I understood Exodus after I pastored a few years. He said they almost be ready to stone me. I know you probably won't believe this, but I've been almost voted out of my church twice. You know what stopped it? You know what stopped it? You a deacon here, brother? You listen to me, okay? You can make a difference right where you're at. Just like in politicians say, you can make a difference. When they come up saying, we're going to vote you out, our bylaws specifically say, you can't tell us to do nothing unless you tithe to our church.
Yep. Same thing here, brother. Amen.
You welcome to come,
yeah.
Sing in the choir, sing hymn books, all that. But if you are not tithing, you are under the curse of God, and we don't need your direction. When I said that, 20 people got up and walked out. It was back down to 7 just like that. Offerings went up, Brother Ron.
Yeah.
Found out why after they left.
Yeah.
I got them books.
Yeah.
I had to go down to the house and get their books, brother. My papa was still alive when I was telling y'all about earlier. The linesman. I said, he said, let me go with you somewhere. And he's big as Brother Brother Jeremy back here. I said, yeah, I need you to go somewhere. And I knew this. If it broke down over there and got bad, I wasn't even going to have to swing. He'd whoop all of them. I never told that story to this funeral. And my family believed it. As soon as I said, that's Pawpaw. That's what he'd do. He is a provider and he'd take care of his family. I was family.
Amen.
Got them books, found out them people been stealing for 2 years. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
That broke my heart. I never thought I'd see that in the church.
Yeah.
Moses said, they almost be ready to stone me. I got a confession to make. I was a Southern Baptist at one time. We pulled out of the convention for a reason.
Amen.
The King James Bible.
Yes.
And what they do with people in the churches and what they allow them to do and remain there.
Yeah.
Y'all watch American Idol? You remember that boy, that Clay, what his name was? He attended a friend of mine's church. And when he come out of the closet, they said, boy, we love Brother Clay.
Oh my, that's enough to him now.
Y'all still watching?
Yeah.
Remember Carrie Aaron Underwood?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Take the Wheel. She has recently stated that if she was a minister, she would do sodomite marriages.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with these people?
Too,
yeah, that's the sad part. I thought to myself, you know, I can see how they almost ready to stone Moses because he's just preaching to him and being good to him.
Yeah.
That's all he's doing. It says in verse 5 there, and the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, and take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because the children of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Now, ain't that something? But verse 8, right after this great victory where water's out in the middle where there ain't supposed to be no water, and God put it there, these next three words are to rattle you. Then came Amalek. Then came Amalek. And it says, and he fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, he says, fight with Amalek. He said, for tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereupon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. As we look tonight in the Word of God, I'm going to preach to you tonight on responsibilities of church members. Responsibilities of church members. We will never see God work at Bible Baptist Church until we all get in on it.
That's good, brother.
You might see something here and there. You might see a move here and there. But when we all pull together and we take care of three things in this church. Number one is responsibilities. Number two is priorities. And number three is recreation. I wouldn't dare preach to you on recreation. You probably know how to get to the mountains here quicker than you know how to get home. I ain't talking about these mountains. I'm talking about Gatlinburg. Some of you, listen, if you've turned out of this parking lot the wrong way, you'd be headed to the beach just by instinct. You know how to rest. But the problem with people is they've never got a hold of their priorities and responsibilities. And I want to deal with responsibilities. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you tonight and we thank you, God, for this time to be in the house of God. And Lord, we look for the Word of God to tell us what to do and how to do it. And if it says jump, we'll say how high on the way up. And Lord, I pray for Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. God, help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. God, deal with lost people, they may get saved. But Lord, I pray, God, for the members of Bible Baptist Church tonight, that God, you'd help us with responsibilities and show them to us from the word of God. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for everything you're going to do for us. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
These verses, we find examples of God's people serving and doing something called ministering. That's where you serve God and help others.
Yeah.
And I noticed that we see the responsibilities of all church members outlined in this passage. And the first responsibility that this church has, and this is going to be the easiest one, be confident in God's pastor. That would be him.
Yep.
Now, I want to help you tonight, and I want you to listen to me, and I'm going to help you real good. You're going to get some helping, and we're going to get some learning, and we're going to love on God and thank him for it, okay?
Amen.
When I say be confident in God's pastor, verse 9 says, we need to be confident in his words. He says, Moses said unto Joshua, said, choose us out men and go fight with Amalek. Amalek's name means literally a people that take away all. Amalek in the Bible is a type of the flesh. You will not believe this when I tell you, but if you let that flesh get a hold to you and you're a saved person, it'll take everything you've got.
Yes, it will. Yes, sir.
I had somebody tell me one time, said, I'm saved with the hammer down and all this other stuff. And I was glad for them. I don't never try to put a wet blanket on nobody. But I have discovered something. If you're not careful, you'll let that attitude fall from that thing. You'll back off on your prayer life because you'll get discouraged. You'll quit reading your Bible because you don't have time. You'll start missing church because you got things going on. And before long, Amalek will take you over.
Yeah, well.
If you read in Galatians chapter 5, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he names off both physical, emotional, and sexual sins right there. Bang, bang, bang. He said, the people that do them, listen, he said, they're following the flesh. Who got them? Amalek did. You know what they came down there for that day? They wasn't coming down there to make a peace treaty with Israel. They're doing the same things those Muslims are trying to do with them right now. They're going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And the flesh is not worried about your pastor. The flesh is worried about me, baby. Bless me if you can, pastor. Preacher, preach on him. He's got this going on, got that going on. But if you say anything about me,
you telling it now.
I'm taking my four and there'll be no more because we're going to the house.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You've heard this outline before. I've never preached this to you before. You look like you've heard this before. My goodness. Moses said, we want to go out, and he said to Joshua, get some men. We're going to go fight with Amalek. He said, we're going to make no deals today. Deal business is over with.
Amen.
And he said, tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So if we're going to be confident in God's pastor, when he tells us to do something, we've got to be confident in his words and let God take care of the details.
Amen.
Now, how's this for strange? The leader says, you go fix some men out. Now, I'm going to check behind you. You go do it. You go get them men. Me and these guys going up here. And we're going to fight. I dare you to find Moses swinging in the rest of this chapter. But he did fight something. He had to fight unbelief on his own end, unbelief on their end. He had to fight worry, discouragement, depression, and all that stuff. Because while he watched, his people was losing when his hands went down, and they won when they went up. He said, Joshua, just go do this thing. And you know what Joshua did? He didn't go to the finance committee and see if we had enough in the budget to take care of it. He didn't go over to the deacons and say, fellas, give me one of your cigarettes. I'm losing my mind over here. Moses told me to do something. I don't know what to do. He went out and chose men.
Yeah.
So how did he pick them? He said, all right, who wants to go out there and fight? You, and you. Let's go.
Yeah.
I noticed in Scripture, I read years when I was a child, they used to teach us about Gideon. Remember him? How many men did he have? 300. Took on a nation of people. I got saved and read Genesis, and I noticed Abraham had 314. And I got to wondering why over in the first war in the Bible ever spoke of. Why did that man get 14 more people? And I found out. Gideon fought one nation. Abraham took on five, and God gave him 14 extra people.
That's good, brother.
That's how much God's scared of a bunch of nations getting together against him. And Moses obviously knew that too, and he said, just choose out some men. He never said get an army together. He just choose some men. Here come Amalek down there. They're going to try to do all this stuff. But Joshua said, let's go, boys. Let's get it done. You know what will hurt your preacher more than anything? When you go back to the house on a Sunday morning, your man of God said, listen, I want us to be here tonight. We're going to do this. We're going to pick up this book of the Bible and do this. And I want everybody to be here and be in their place. And he goes home and you tell your kids, I don't agree with everything he says.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Look up here at me. Don't you die on me tonight. I'm trying to help you.
Come on.
If you have that kind of attitude at the house, do not expect that God bless you. And listen, when times get rough, you're still going to call your preacher anyway. Because you know, and I know that you know, God put you here and God put him here. You've got to be confident in God's pastor. You've got to be confident in his words. When he says that I believe we should do this, the Bible says this, be confident in it. Say, what if he's a blooming idiot? Well, you voted him in, not me. I can't help you with that. Say, preacher, you don't know what kind of crazy stuff he tells us. I don't care if he says get on top of this building with hammers and beat on top of the building. If God says let's do that, let's get up there and get the hammers rolling. Now, I don't know that God would ever tell you to do that, and I'm not trying to plant no ideas for you, but I'm just saying whatever God tells him, he says let's do it, let's do it. God's in the details. He'll take care of them. He wants you to be in the direction. But we also are confident in his works because it says in verse 10, so Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. He never questioned, why doesn't Aaron have to come out here and do this? And he go up to the top of the hill. Ain't that a sight? Why does Holden have to do that? Why can't I do that? Some of y'all are guilty of sin, and you're looking at me thinking, hoping I can't see past you. I already know. That look tells me everything. Listen, I see a lot of people that say, well, the preacher's going to do that. Why don't I get to go stand up on top of you and him come down here? Why does her get on that side, and I can't be up there on that side? And I bet Aaron said, I wonder why I can't be on that side instead of this side. God had to be in this because they wasn't arguing already.
Right.
I see that we got to be competent in the man of God's works. If he says, listen, we're going to preach through the book of the Bible, don't say, well, I'd rather preach through Revelation and find out what's going to happen. You nail down Romans, son, and we'll get to Revelation.
Amen. That's right.
You nail down the Gospel of John and follow Jesus through 21 chapters of that, we'll nail her down good on prophecy.
Yes.
Amen. Somebody told me one time, I said, why don't you preach on such and such? I know they're doing such and such. I said, what do you do? They said, nothing. I said, I'm going to preach on nothing tonight then. They said, how are you going to know what I'm doing? I said, I'm going to keep hitting it until I get it. I used three things for that. You ready for them? Pride. That's my 3 points, and it worked. That person got under conviction. I was right.
Yeah.
Get them. I ain't done nothing. Sure you haven't. The Bible says if we say we have not sinned, we lie.
Yes,
yeah. Be confident in the man of God's works. He may not do everything like you do them. He may not do them like the last 10 pastors you've been under. And God help if you jumped 11 churches. But I'm just saying, if you can at all costs, don't ever question the man of God. Just do what the Bible says. If he says drink the Kool-Aid, pour it out. Follow me as I follow Christ.
Right.
Follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul's instruction was. I don't have people try to eat like me. I don't have people try to go out and take driving lessons from Brother Red. By the way, I can sleep when he's driving. I can't when you're driving. I'm just saying.
Have the Bible
the whole way. I'd have got saved 10 times from here from where we was at a while ago. So, boy, like, where are you at? Oh, we're still back here cranking up the car. I'm halfway there, you know. But be confident in the man of God and his words and his works. Second responsibility, not of some church members, of all church members, if you look down at verse 11, is be caring for God's people. Stay in the fight.
Yes, sir.
It says in verse 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. You never read where Moses said, you know what, I'm tired, but his arms came down anyway, and he'd get them back up. The whole time, they were either winning or losing. But one thing was consistent. Nobody left the battlefield. Everybody stayed there and done what they could. Do you know, if you go see a lot of people do things, if they have a quit rule, they'll use it before they ever take the shame of losing. I know I've seen softball games over the years, and I forget how many you got to be up by the certain innings. If you up so many, they got a, what they call
mercy
it,
rule?
Mercy rule. You know why? Them other people's crying over it.
Yeah.
They ain't letting us win. Just call it in the third inning and give us all a trophy. I never thought I'd be old enough to say this, but back in my day, once the champion team got the trophy, the other guys shook their hands and we all went away and said, that's game over. Nobody cared that everybody got a trophy. And I sat through 6 years of elementary school, never got the first award, never got the first beta, honor, whatever all that stuff is. I didn't care. Them smart kids got them. Bless your heart. And I was as shocked as anything in sixth grade. They called my name out there on that stage, and I was like, oh, my goodness. I thought, I've been sitting here quiet this whole time. Ain't bothered nobody. Ain't thumped nobody. There's something wrong.
Yeah.
They called me up for an award. And I didn't know that years later they'd start these participation awards. I thought, maybe I'm getting... Well, I participated. I got up there, and I was shaking. The principal's up there, and I thought, he's fixing... I thought, every time I had to be alone with him, he beat me half to death. He said, we're giving you this award for perfect attendance. And I thought, I didn't skip school all year. It just hit me right then. I want to take my certificate and go lay out the next day. But for some reason, I hadn't been out that all year. Didn't even think about it. That's the only award I ever got in school. I wished I still had it. But I'm telling you, whether they's winning or whether they's losing, they're still there.
Oh, please listen, church. Please listen.
We were talking about football, and boy, football makes me mad. Football fans do. When I was a kid, everybody was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. They won 4 Super Bowls. Everybody's a Pittsburgh fan. Go Steelers, steel curtain, blah, blah, blah. Get them hands down. You ain't liking where I'm going this anyway. Neither one of you will. The 80s came around, and the 49ers won all the Super Bowls. And all them Steeler fans became 49er fans. They went from black and gold to crimson and gold. And then the 90s rolled around, and they traded that in on some blue and silver and became Cowboy fans. And I've been a Cowboy fan since before they got Tony Dorsett, and they had Roger Staubach. And I was like, we don't want you. You are bandwagon fans. Go back to Pittsburgh. Go back to San Francisco. Be with your team. And then 2000 rolled around. Now they like the Patriots. And I'm looking at all this and I'm saying this. And let me make it clear for you. I don't care which team you like. Just stick with your team.
Yeah.
Do y'all remember the Redskins had that thing where all of them got in a circle and would jump up and do all that? Boy, they used to do that in the halls of junior high. Until the Raiders got a hold of them that year and beat them 38-9 Super Bowl, you couldn't find a Redskin fan the next day.
Amen.
Yeah. Our junior high, listen, you count on this, the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday, if there's bandwagon fans and the bandwagon got whooped, that'd be the worst attendance day in our history of school. Because back then, we would ride you like a dog. Yes. If you done all that last week and last month, you've been a bandwagon fan. And down where I'm at, they got the Clemson Tigers and the South Carolina Gamecocks. And I can remember when I was a Gamecock fan growing up, Clemson beat us 4 years in a row. That's all you heard about. Four-year joke this and four-year joke that. I didn't jump on their bandwagon. But I did stick with my team. And then we got the meanest coach in the NCAA history to come to our team. And we beat them 5 years in a row. And he's such a smart aleck, he told them this. They said, we don't believe South Carolina can beat us like that. And Steve Spurrier's guy, he said this. He says, somebody's been whooping you for five straight years at the end of the year. And I thought to myself, when all them people kept jumping over us, trading in their little orange shirts for garnet and black, we don't want you. We don't want you. And when Clemson beat Alabama last year, I want you to know, boy, there's been more Clemson fans I've ever seen in my life in that county. It's crazy. They're missing loyalty.
Yes, yes,
yes. You stay in the fight.
Amen.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but you stay in the fight.
Amen.
I grew up in a house where you went to church anyway. We went to Anyway Baptist Church because you're going anyway.
Yeah. Amen.
And I didn't like to go, but my grandma outweighed me by 100 pounds and she could force me physically to go. It was no problem for her. Some of you right now, listen, you got kids this big and they'll be telling you, well, let's vote on what church to go. Okay, let's vote. We never voted.
Amen.
Lord, where would you have us to go? God voted, and that's where we went. We stayed
yes,
there the whole time.
Right.
I grew up in the same church 14 years till they let me run out on my own, till I was old enough to get away from it.
Yep.
And to this day, after I got saved, they still want me to come back here and preach to them. Mm-hmm. And all the old folks that was there, was young folks, and I was there, they still are saying amen.
Amen.
Listen, you need to be loyal. I don't care what program they have at First Baptist. And people come to me and say, well, now we're going to switch churches because of the youth programs down at such and such.
Oh, please hit that a little bit.
And you're going to go down there and get with their NIV Bible that leaves out 17 complete verses, picks out the word blood 100 times, and you're going to stand down there and tell me with that little reprobate up there preaching to you, corrects the Bible instead of preaching,
yeah.
And you say, but we're here for the children.
Come on.
You sound like a Democrat.
Amen.
You sound like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
All words and no brains.
Amen.
You need to stay in the fight and be caring for God's people because there's somebody that showed up here tonight because somebody else showed up here tonight.
Yeah.
The night you wanted to quit and walk out, you didn't. And because you didn't, two or three other families didn't.
Amen.
Be caring for God's people.
Yes, sir.
Everybody tries to tell me that, well, nobody watches me. Nobody sees me. I'm just a nobody. You have 10 people watching you, whether you believe it or not.
Yes, sir.
They're going to react off of you.
Yes, sir.
You're going to take an action. They're going to have a reaction. Amen. There's probably people right now in this church, and I don't even know why I don't say this. I'm going to tell you something. There's probably people sitting here right now. You smoke cigarettes, and there's somebody there with you that they smoke because you smoke. They look up to you. If you quit, they'll quit. If you walk out the doors of this church, they'll walk out with you.
They will, yes, sir. I've seen them before. Yeah.
So what about them children's programs? Start one here.
Yeah.
We can have Jumping for Jesus. Get one of them bouncy houses out there and throw them youngins in it and spray them off with a hose pipe or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That thing changes so much. I don't ever know what the new thing is. But do whatever you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But remember this.
Stay
loyal in the fight.
It's good, brother. It's good.
How would you feel if them New York Yankees got to play them Los Angeles Dodgers and the pitcher for the Yankees said, you know what? I'm going to throw them like this. Boy, that'd be so many Dodger home runs. They'd make a mercy rule in the major leagues for that. Pitch underhand in a major league baseball game.
Yeah.
Say, well, wouldn't he technically be trying to help the other team? Now you get it.
Yes, sir.
You know what they usually do, the pitchers? They go out there and sling it on, and the bat comes off their shoulder.
Yeah.
And somebody has to come out there and say, come here. I think I need to set you down. You've done wore yourself out.
Mm.
You know what the guy always tells them? Just one more pitch, coach.
Yeah, one more.
One more inning. I think I'm staying there. One more inning. One more. You know what we have to do? Please come to church.
Yeah.
Just one more service.
Sound
I'm tired. Yeah. I'm tired too. I had a man in the wheelchair preach to me Wednesday night, and while you were sitting here listening to me, what was I doing? I was waxing eloquent that night. And I remember doing that. But that I went back and watched that man preach. You know what he preached? A man in a wheelchair goes to church three times a week. He was pastoring. And he said this. His title of his message was, "I'm tired, but not too tired."
Amen.
I thought, Lord, if he wouldn't have preached that at my church, I'd have preached it to him when I got back. Boy, that's a message right there. So yes, where did he preach it from? Don't really matter. I'll take it from right there.
Yeah.
Loyalty. My mother-in-law was one of the most faithful people I've ever seen in my life that I pastored. I used to make mother-in-law jokes. I don't tell them more now that she's dead. Now she's with Jesus. I refuse to touch God's anointed. Amen. Listen, that's... But the whole time she was there, while I pastored her for 20 years, her health steadily went down. I watched her go from a woman who would run out of the car to go grab dinner or whatever to have her use an electric wheelchair just to get across the room.
When she was in church, wasn't she, brother?
I never saw her lay out.
Yes, sir.
But you folks on two legs, you can't seem to walk in that door.
Mm.
Be loyal. Stay in the fight.
Yes.
So when we're done, when Jesus comes,
amen.
He'll either come get you in the rapture or the rupture, but he'll come get you one or the other.
Yes, sir.
And just be faithful where you're at.
Yeah.
He points out there in verse number 12 to stand in the faith. He says, verse 12, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady to the going down of the sun." You got to be caring for God's people. There's some people in here tonight that's going to take two people on each side of you just to keep you going. I don't need to talk to the guy in the middle. I need to talk to the two people that need to be on the side. Be caring for God's people.
Amen. That's good, brother.
Say, well, bless God, if they can't know, go get them. Don't let go just yet. So what if that gets tired? Get somebody under it. See, the problem we have is we're looking out for this, and we ought to be looking out for this.
You're right. Amen. You're right. You're right.
There's a word in the Bible that says you can have in the Lord. It's a word called joy. If you turn joy upside down, that's Jesus first, others second, yourself last, and you'll always have joy with them things like that.
Amen.
If you ever move you or others in front of Jesus, that's when the trouble starts. Now you've given Satan a ground to work with. But all you got to do is stand in the faith. I noticed that Moses here had an odd position. All they wanted him to do was what God told him to do, and all God wanted him to do was keep his arms up. Now, if they told that guy that's the general, the cabinet member now, that we want you to go stand up on top of that hill over in Afghanistan, you keep your arms up and God will take care of the terrorists. Well, our army would look at that and say, well, we don't know if God could do that or not. That's why God don't do it, by the way.
Yeah.
But let's say he did. He said, well, I can't hold my hands up. I'm a 75-year-old man now. I'm tired. We'd get you Aaron on one side and her on the other, keep your arms up so we could win that fight, see?
Good.
We're fighting a much bigger enemy than terrorism. Listen, we're fighting the devil.
Right.
And the only way we're going to beat him is if we have loyalty in the church of folks that will stand for the things of God, a man of God will stand for it, and somebody will help him keep his hands up.
Yeah.
Amen.
My uncle told me, he was raised in the country, he said, if you ever want to be strong, he said, take you two books, like the way the same thing, hold them like this every day. He said, do it for about an hour, then next day, next week, or whatever, put two books there and hold them up. He said, the week after that, get you three and hold them up. He said, then go down there with them boys that pump all them weights and challenge them to just a little arm wrestling match. They used to be this big old guy. He would look like one of the, like Hulk or somebody. He'd jump out at my uncle and he'd say, play mercy, old man. Dude had 20-inch arms, zero body fat, you know, and all that. And my uncle, who was a good country Christian godly man, said, sir, I don't want to do that and embarrass you here at work. And this went on for 6 months. I could tell you the man's name. He's still alive, and I won't say it, but you know who you are. He jumped out there one time, and he said, come on, old man. My uncle grabbed his hands and just closed his fingers like that till the boy started to cry. Never even got him like that. Just closed his fingers on him. Don't ever judge a book by its cover. Them stupid Israelites, look, they got their preacher standing up on top of the hill holding his arms up. We're going to get them. Come to find out, every time his arms was up, they got whipped. And they figured that thing out. It said they got Moses, his hands were heavy, and it said they rolled out a recliner stone right there in front of him, behind him. It said, Moses, sit down right here. I'm going to stand over here and hold this one. Her's going to hold that one. And in the lazy boy of the Flintstone era, he set that thing right there, and God went down there and done all the fighting for him. Amen. See, that's how God works. When you're caring for God's people, God will care for you. Number three, responsibility, not of some church members, not the deacons, not the preacher, but of all church members. And when I say church members, I'm talking about born again, child of God, baptized, loves Jesus, whole nine yards.
Right.
You need to be consistent with God's plan. I noticed that at verse 13, there's a word there. Look at this. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. That word discomfited, I've looked it up in Hebrew, Greek, French, German, Italian, and Mexican. And I have come to the conclusion every one of them says the same thing. It means he laid them out.
Yeah.
Discomfited them. Laid them out. He's getting the same discomfitment Mayweather's fixing to get. I hate boxing. It's as fixed as wrestling. But listen, God's plan for every church member is to be consistent with His plan. Here it is. I'm going to give you two parts of it. If you'll keep up with these two, God will help you with everything else. Number one, be a prayer warrior. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, this ought to be a memory verse you take home and learn tonight. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Be consistent with it. Every day pray. Don't bless God, just pray when your food gets there. Pray privately. Pray with your family, but get along with God every day and talk with the Lord. Pray for people. Pray for things. Pray for our country. Pray for me. Pray for your pastor. Pray for our church. Pray. Pray for these missionaries. God bless them. Listen, they have the worst time of all people. Because independent Baptists are the most unorganized preachers I've ever seen in my life. We don't ever return phone calls, and we don't have any idea what a calendar looks like. And when somebody like him shows up, we ain't even prepared to preach. We say, well, who are you again?
Yeah.
Oh, you a missionary?
Amen.
You want to preach tonight?
Amen. She's kicking me.
I'm kicking him right now. You hold on. I just know this. If you pray consistently like you're supposed to, a missionary showing up on time won't surprise you. Are you listening to me?
Yeah, come on, brother.
If you pray consistently for God's work and God's things and everything you're supposed to pray for, then you will understand that what I'm telling you tonight, I'm not telling you out of meanness, I'm telling you out trying to help you with this thing. Be consistent. So I don't think my prayers hit above the ceiling. If it wasn't for Jesus, they wouldn't, honey. But because of Him, now they do go to the throne of heaven, no matter what the devil's trying to tell you about your prayer life. In fact, the next time you feel like that, say, Lord, will you take this devil out of here that's trying to tell me that? Because something's wrong in there. And say, I don't feel like I reach heaven with them. Well, keep going. You probably are. I know the church he's talking about his wife went to. I don't know which one of that bunch down there got through to God, but one of them did. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for it. I wouldn't even know the thing. I'd think it'd be people prayed. Somebody down there did.
Yes, sir. Yes, yep.
Are you listening? God's able.
Amen.
They might have been old praying grandma, some kid that loved God there, a couple. I don't know. But somebody said, God, save that man. God said,
yes.
What was that?
Yep. Yeah. Amen. That's good, brother. That's good.
Amen. Wait a minute. You prayed that last Sunday. I heard that last Sunday. And then some old man was walking up, cutting all the lights, saying, Lord, I can't remember that old guy's name. He said, somebody redheaded stepchild. I said, pray, Lord, save that man. He's cutting up the lights, walking in the door.
Yeah.
God says, I know him. I've been watching him. I'll send him a gospel tract today. Be consistent.
Yes.
Keep praying.
Yeah.
So I don't know if my prayer life's worth anything. Keep praying anyway. So I ain't got a prayer list. Get down there and pray anyway. I heard this one preacher say this. He said, I get alone every morning and I get a towel in the floor and I get down there and pray and this, that, and other. And he was telling all this. And next day I was at the gym up there at the YMCA and we're playing racquetball all morning. I told him, I went there and said, listen. I said, you don't look prostrate in here too bad. Because that's what he's saying. I prostrate myself before a holy God. No, you're not telling anybody what you do when you pray. Just go pray.
Amen.
Yeah. Man asked me, he said, what about praying in the closet? I said, who said to do it? He said, Jesus. I said, you can find you a closet. Say, you can't see in there. We ain't there so you can see. We there so you can pray.
Amen.
Say, what if I forget what to pray for? You got the Holy Ghost and you ask Him.
Oh.
Now, you think about that thing.
Yes.
And listen, Baptist people are so consistent where they sit at. When I go down to pray, I go down this road praying for them by name, knowing where they sit at, and by this road by doing that way.
Right.
And if I was here more than 3 months, I'd be able to call your name out by memory just by where you sit at.
Yes.
And if you switched, I'd make you go back over to the other side. You're messing up my prayer time. Let God get a hold of that heart in that prayer closet and show you what to pray for.
Amen.
But also, not only be a prayer warrior, but be a soul winner.
Yeah.
Proverbs 11:30 makes a statement. He says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, but he that winneth souls is wise.
Yes.
So how does that fit with Moses? Moses was a soul winner. Aaron was a soul winner. Hur, soul winner. Joshua, soul winner. So how do you know? Because God didn't kill 2.5 million people in the wilderness. He actually, some of them got saved. Tell me how they got saved again. Somebody told them. Say, well, I believe in works, then you out of line. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So is that in the Bible? It might not be. You ought to look out and see if it is.
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint. If you don't know where it's at, you need to get to looking.
Because
it is in there.
Amen.
But listen to me. Be a soul winner everywhere you go. If somebody there, listen, we've sat in restaurants after having Bible college. You go up there to Ryan's, which at the time was our official Bible college cafeteria. I didn't want to hire nobody and pay insurance, so we just used theirs. They was already there. And this lady come up to me and said, how do you know if you're saved? Is there any Bible verses that tell you? I said, yeah. And I took out my pen, wrote her some verses down. She said, I'm going to go check them out. She's gone 2 minutes, come back crying and said, can I get saved right now? I don't think I'm saved.
Amen.
Oh, well, hold on. I got to call my preacher.
Mm.
Wait a minute. I ain't got a gospel tract on me. So what'd you do with her? I took her back where the glass windows and glass doors was. Everybody could see it. She got down there and cried her heart out and asked God to save her.
Amen.
Come to find out, I didn't have to tell her nothing. She just was under conviction.
Yeah.
I was ready, though. I had Romans Road ready. With a Philippians bypass and Ephesians overhaul, I was ready to plow right on in. God done everything. I just had to go back there and just ask the Lord to save you the best way you know how. She did.
Amen.
You know what's strange about people like that? They stay in church. Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, when it's real, it's real.
You got to be a soul winner at all times. My wife, I know some of y'all don't eat out Sunday, but I'm not as spiritual as you are. You pray for me, I'll pray for you, okay? But we lived down there behind a church at the time, and she said, go get us a Subway sandwich, and there's a Subway place up there near where we was at, up there near where that Winn-Dixie place is, that little place. And I went up there, and I walked in there, and there's two black girls working in there. I didn't know them. They didn't know me. They said, what do you want to eat? And I handed them the list because they were women. My wife wrote it. I figured they could all just fellowship there together, know everything that's going on. And I wouldn't have to tell them a thing. They went to fixing sandwiches and they said this, have you been to church? I said, yeah, I've been to church. Y'all go to church? Well, not today because we're working. I said, oh, okay. They said, do you think judgmental thoughts about people who don't go to church? I said, all the time. I didn't. I'm just kidding. I said, no, I really don't think that because I used to not be in church and somebody was kind to me. And that one girl said, what does going to church get you? I said, usually a headache. Because if you're not a believer and you go in there, this will get on your nerves.
Yeah.
It'll drive you nuts. She said, how does one become a saved person?
Oh, quick, man.
Hold on. Let me find my cell phone. I got to call my preacher. Wait a minute. I am the preacher. Hold on. Wait a minute. I got to find a gospel track. Man, I forgot my gospel track. What'd you do? Turned over Romans in my head, started with chapter 3, verse 10, got to verse 23, chapter 5, verse 8, verse 12, chapter 6, verse 23, chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 13. And two young ladies said, can we get saved right here?
Amen.
And I thought, all that preaching I do and all my converts come outside the church. I think I've got this backwards.
Yeah.
But I'll take it. That one girl, I ran into her 6 months later and didn't recognize her. Her name then was Moon Pie. This is why I never forgot her. I love moon pies.
Amen. Yep.
She said, they don't call me that no more. She said, I've been in church the whole time. I love God, been living for Jesus.
Amen.
And all that stuff.
Brother. Amen.
So she didn't show up at your church, did she? Why, heavens no. She went back to her people and told them about it. Some of them was getting saved because
Amen,
of her.
Amen, brother. Yep. That's good, brother. Amen.
Was your church going to build up? Yeah, God saved three that same week, and I didn't have nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
I felt like I could preach on Mary Had a Little Lamb that night, and three people saying got saved because God did that work over here, and I didn't tell her, well, now you've got to come to my church.
Yeah.
You tell them how to go to heaven, honey. God will put them down there and go to your church. That's,
yes,
that's a fact.
Yes, right.
So how many of you run? Not enough. But yet we get all kind of stuff done for the Lord because we realize something. You take care of God's business, He'll take care of yours.
Amen.
Brother, I'm going to be kind to you. We're going to do a Sammy Allen offer when I get done. We're going to take up money for a new microphone, a new cord, and new speakers, and a new PA system.
We get it. I promise we get together, brother. Don't kill me.
But listen to me. Whenever somebody comes up and says something about little church like this, well, preacher, where do you work at? And they come in to fix our PA system at time. He said, where do you work at? I said, here. He said, what do you do? I said, nothing but preach 3 hours a week. What am I supposed to do? That's what people think.
Yeah.
They don't see 40 hours of praying during the week where you've broken hearted over somebody that won't do right. They don't see 50 hours of studying, having to run this hospital and that hospital and, you know, all this other stuff. And God forbid this social media age we're in now has added more to that.
Yeah.
And they'll look at you and say stuff like, well, them cards up on the wall, you got them missionaries. Who pays them? I said, we do. He said, well, who pays you? I said, they do. People. He said, where do y'all get us money from? I said, him.
Yep.
This is God's truth, brother. I started out with 7. Barely got 30 now. And I've never not had full-time pay.
Amen.
Now, some weeks that meant praying for groceries to come in. God took care of that, too.
Amen.
I lived in a city when I first started pastoring, a country about middle ways, about 10 years earlier, and we moved back into the city. And I found out something. God can send the pizza man by with your pizza, and you don't even have to pay for it sometimes. So who does that? Are you listening to me? God does.
Yes, he does.
We sat there and wrote out a tithe check 1 week for $5, and that's all we had. And that was more than 10%. And we wrote it out and said, God, we know you'll take care of us. Ding dong. She looked mad at her. I said, boy, the Avon lady's here, ain't she? He's a Domino's guy. I like him better.
Yeah,
you can't eat that Avon stuff. So what does that matter anything? When you get in there and you take care of what God tells you to take care of, He'll take care of what you need.
Yes, He provides. Amen.
There is no way I can express to you how good a church you've got here.
Yes.
You don't know what you have here.
Amen.
You are the only church I know in 5 states that offers a free bass boat to anybody to pull up and take it. That's the truth.
Amen.
It would be going back to South Carolina, but we ain't got no hitch on our car.
We can well on for a quick
But I'm looking at the Bible and seeing something. When I look for the marks of a great church, I find them in a church like this. You know where I don't find them? I don't find them in a worldly church that chases after the world.
Listen, church, listen.
But if I find a few people chasing after God, I find God taking care of the whole thing.
Yep.
You don't realize how fortunate God is. Do you know some people can't find lost people in their town? Would you believe that? In this world we live in, somebody can't find lost people. All y'all got to do is walk any direction. Y'all like that military man back in World War II. He is surrounded by the enemy. His whole platoon was there, and they all was basically turned shoulder to shoulder, making a circle. They radioed in and said, "You need help?" He said, "No, I've got the enemy. I see him wherever direction I turn. I got him." Started dropping them. They realized we got a great opportunity before us. You've got a great opportunity here. Great opportunity. I'll tell you this. You ain't got to go but any direction here to find somebody that will admit they lost.
Yeah.
This ain't like where we live at. Everybody's saved in there.
Yeah.
Even me and him saved before we got saved, we'd tell
Amen.
You. But here you got an opportunity. And if I read Facebook correctly, I mean, you've got a real good opportunity here.
Been rough your life,
bro. So what does them people need? Jesus.
Yes, they do.
Why has God got you here? To tell them. So I'm scared. Remember I told you last night how God overcome fear with overcoming life, and he's the overcoming Lord. He still can do that.
Amen.
I'd like to see this church tonight say, "You know what, preacher, we're going to hold up your hands while you take care of what you take care of, and we're going to take care of what God told us to take care of.
Amen.
And if we ain't going to be nothing, we're going to be loyal, we're going to be consistent, and we're going to be loving towards the things of God." Let's stand tonight with every head bowed, every eye closed.